Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Christopher David Edmondson. We are just waiting for Richard. We have two awesome guests tonight. We don't normally do guests on Wednesdays, but we thought we'd mix it up just a little bit. And we have the one and only Batman. And then we have old Benny. So we're just going to wait for that, and I will start us off with the song.
Dead puppy, dead puppy. Dead puppies aren't much fun. They don't come when you call. They don't chase squirrels at all. Dead puppies aren't much fun. My puppy died late last fall. He's still rotting in the hall. Dead puppies aren't much fun. No, no, no. Mom says puppies' days are through. She's going to throw him in the stew. Dead puppies aren't.
All right, welcome back to 911 Comedy Team. I'm the only host tonight, it looks like, and we are waiting for our first guest to call in. So until that happens, he's actually getting ready to come on right now. So I will give it just one more second.
Dead puppy. Dead puppy. Dead puppies aren't much fun. They don't come when you call. They don't chase squirrels at all. Dead puppies aren't much fun. My puppy died late last fall. He's still rotting in the hall. Dead puppies aren't much fun. No, no, no. Mom says puppies' days are through. She's going to throw him in the stew. Dead puppies.
All right, we are back with 911 Comedy Team. This is Christopher David Edmondson.
Richard Spassoff.
He's on the air. And we are here with the one and only Batman.
Hey, Batman, are you any relationship to Burt Ward?
Very funny. No, not at all. Not at all.
You heard that before, huh?
I've heard it quite a few times. How's everybody doing?
Good. Glad to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm honored to be here, actually.
How did you get that name, Batman?
I'm the youngest of 10 boys, and I was kind of bullied when I was a little kid, and so they, got me into comic books, and my brother started calling me Batman when I was a little kid. Kind of stuck. It didn't really help that when I went to high school, I wore a Batman uniform underneath my clothes. That really did help me
get
girls, but yeah. So I'm a comic book nerd, love comic books, and been called it since I was like 5 years old. So
I've seen your comedy. You're funny. You're great.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. You have a good, do you write your own stuff, or how does it work for you?
I do write my own stuff, mostly situational stuff that goes on in my family. Like I said, youngest of 10 boys, there's a lot that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I have 72 nieces and nephews, 50 great nieces and nephews and 20 great great nieces and nephews. So there's a lot
of built-in audience.
Holy crap!
Exactly. We have our own.
So if you
want
to do a comedy show, you just go home, pretty much.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I asked Batman to come on tonight. I have seen a lot of your shows. I've done a couple with you. You're an awesome dude. Like, you're always super nice, and your jokes are obviously hilarious. What
Thanks.
Got you into comedy?
It was actually a dare. I worked for a company called Verizon Wireless. Shameless plug, but. And I was out on a break with my boss, and he said I was in the wrong business. And I asked him what he meant, and he said, you should be doing something else. And I said, okay. And he said, well, you know, matter of fact, there's an open call, open mic audition going on next week. I dare you to get on it. And by the time the day was over, everybody in that call center came to see me perform, and I made it all the way from the open audition to the semifinals of Last Comic Standing in Washington. That's what kind of stuck from that moment on. It's like went
Way
up on
to
a
go.
Dare.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so now everybody thinks is like, okay, well, it makes sense, you know, because as much trouble as you got into and as much as your mouth was running, it makes sense that you're doing what you're doing. So.
So would you say your hardships brought forth the comedy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being the youngest and getting bullied and, you know, the life that we lived. I'm a black kid from Newport Beach, you know, only black kid in my neighborhood for years. So yeah, it really helped me shape who I am. I had to have a quick mouth.
Somehow you got it. You didn't go the other way, and that's great. Sometimes people could become invert, right?
Right. No. I'm gonna start a conversation.
So,
I'm gonna start a conversation before everybody else does.
Now, Batman, you are actually headlining for me next April, right?
That's correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
That's
going to
be an awesome show, yeah.
That's on San Diego, right?
Yes, it is. It's
okay.
March 8th at 7:30 at the Comedy Palace.
Okay, outstanding. Oh, we're doing the palace.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel so privileged.
I mean, let's face it, if you're going to go to San Diego, you have to see Batman.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what? It's funny. You were like one of the first people I thought of when I was doing this show. I was like, he's coming on for sure.
Well, thank you very much. I feel honored. That's great.
What kind of things do you have going on right now?
Well, you know, I have the Batcave that goes on every Thursday. That's at the Lemon Twist Lounge in Anaheim. And I have another show at the OC Steelhouse that goes on Sundays, which is Gotham City, Monster Comedy, and various shows going on around Los Angeles and Orange County. I do the improv, Hollywood Improv next Monday, and then Flappers that Sunday, and then Flappers that next Monday in Burbank. So
when you perform... When you perform, Batman, do you prefer, how do you deal with the energy of the crowd pretty good? How does that work for you?
I'm pretty hyped. I'm pretty energetic regardless. And I'm usually trying to either bring them up to my level or take them down a notch.
Now, this is one thing I've seen. I actually seen him interact with a crowd, and I think this lady was like, 59 years old, just walked into the bar, and he was yelling and shouting, and she started just having a great time. Yeah, he definitely...
It's just a gift. I mean, like I said, 10 brothers and, you know, 10 of us and 9 sisters-in-laws and all these kids. I got to learn how to, you know, be a people person.
Speak up, exactly.
Now that...
Did your mom appreciate the comedy you do? Does she, was she for it?
She was. She was skeptical at first, like, okay, is that really a lucrative business? Can you really make a living at that? And then,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I started making making a living at it and started doing shows at the Improv and stuff. Then she was like, okay, well, she started to come see me perform at that point. And then she's like, okay, you're in the right position. You're in the right job. So she's behind me 100%.
That's great. Yay. Christopher.
That's actually, trying to think now. That's one question we had quite a bit that we've asked the comedians was, you know, we talk about, you know, was it your trauma that you went through as a kid or whatever that made you want to do comedy? Now, here's one thing I've heard asked a lot, and I love asking it because I like it's different. Different comedians have different aspects of it. How do you feel as a comedian? How important is it for you to interact with the crowd?
It's important for me to feel some connection towards the crowd. It's very, very important for me to know that they're on my side when I get up there. Because you know you can go up there and sometimes and you're behind the eight ball and your set is lost before you open up your mouth. And so I try to get them on my side by interacting with them as quickly as possible. So now they understand, okay, the way my mind works and what I'm saying is, you know, not really, really malicious. It's a joke. You know, so I try to get things as quickly as possible. It's very important for me.
So how do you deal with that situation with the audience? Say if they're not, I know you get them that way, but how do you do that? How do you work it into a set?
I'll flip it. Depending on whether it's a diverse crowd or not, I'll flip it. Say I feel like the guest of honor at a KKK convention or you know, something like that. And, break the ice that way. They're like, oh, and I'm like, oh, you were thinking it, though. You were thinking it, skinny black man up on stage wearing Batman uniform. You know, that's kind of different, you know. And so I'll poke fun at myself and then they'll I'll get them on my side that way.
And like Chris said, you're very friendly with people, and that always helps, right?
Yeah, that helps. You know, because I'm usually before a show, I'll walk through the crowd and I'll mess with people, or I'll walk through the line before the doors open and start messing with people so that they know who I am when I get up there. Oh, that was the guy outside acting the nut. Okay.
Now
when you... Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Where do you set your goals at this point?
I want to be on the Mount Rushmore of comedy. And I'm not talking about the people that are alive today, like Dave Chappelle and Martin Lawrence and Kevin Hart and people like that. Though I'm talking about the people who pioneered this thing and did it for real. Like Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Parr, you know, Soupy Sales, you know, those kind of
now,
people.
Speaking of goals, Batman, do you have a vision board for yourself?
Absolutely.
Look great.
Everyone. It's in the shape of a bat cave, you know.
I like that.
Different things that I have to do on a daily basis and different things that I have on a monthly basis, different things I have yearly that I put up there and mark down as I check them off.
Do you find when you set your goals, do you accomplish everything that you have out there or do you have too much out there or not enough?
I actually don't feel like I'm doing enough.
Okay.
But what comic does feel like they're doing?
Yeah,
enough.
True,
they,
true.
They yep. always feel like there's another set that they could be doing somewhere. There's another stage that they can be on. There's mm-hmm. another joke that they could be writing. You know, they're always feeling like there's somebody out there doing something right at this minute that I should be doing. Am I getting enough headshots?
How do you stop beating yourself up? How do you stop that negative thoughts that go on? How do you deal with that?
Just knowing you can't be everywhere and do everything all at the same time, and that takes time. You know, and that you know, building a brand and building yourself and building a voice, it takes time for people to actually listen to you. You can be screaming for years and nobody hear you, mm-hmm. and then somebody take notice. So go at the pace that you feel is comfortable for you, and don't sweat the small stuff. Don't
right.
sweat the fact that, you know, this person is maybe getting booked more than you, or this person may be doing more shows or their promotions, or their cars may be better, or they're getting better venues. It doesn't matter. There's enough out here for everybody to make everybody laugh. There's enough misery in the world for everybody to make somebody laugh.
That's
now,
great.
Now, for those people out there who don't know Batman, they will very soon, trust me. I thought, when I first met you, you had the Batman gear on, you know.
Yeah.
But you literally wear all Batman all the time. It's amazing.
No, it's all the time, yeah. I have sort of this obsession with it. I can even be driving down Hollywood Boulevard and see somebody dressed in Batman, and I have to stop and be like, oh, my God, I got to take a picture.
Well, I've always told myself ever since I first met you, that belt that you wear, the Batman belt,
yeah.
I'm going to have to steal that from you and just see how that goes.
Oh, I don't know if you'll be able to get it off me. I've been wearing it since I was 13 years old. So.
I'm scared if I get too close to it, I might die. So now
it's like the Holy Grail.
We have Benny coming on at 8. He doesn't know that we have Batman on because Wednesdays we don't really have like the interview thing.
Right.
So I want you to tell a couple of jokes if you wouldn't mind, and then
no problem.
Yeah, you can stay on as long as you want.
Okay.
we'll just leave the board and you can be on the air. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds.
I want him to mess with Benny. That's what I want.
Okay, well,
should we introduce Batman and what he's going to do with this comedy, then let him go forth?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay. I guess
so now, ladies and gentlemen, from
Batman
Las Vegas, Rose. Nevada, from the 911 comedy team with Christopher D. Edmondson and myself, Richard Spassoff, we're proud to present Batman and his comedy.
Hello, everybody. So do I just start going at a quick pace? How's everybody doing? Yes, my name is Batman. I know you probably think to yourself, well, okay, how's that possible that a black man can call himself that theory on that one? If Caitlyn Jenner can still have man parts and call himself a woman, win the Courageous Woman of the Year award, then a skinny 18-pound black man can be calling himself Batman and wear a Batman uniform. I think that would be, I think that's appropriate. Let's see, what else can I say? Oh, yeah. Went by the beach the other day. I was walking on the beach, and I saw something very strange. I saw a woman with no arms and no legs laying on the beach. How did she get there? I asked myself, because there were no drag marks. There was no place that anybody could drop her off. But she raised her head up a little bit, and she looked at me, and she said, hello. I said, hello. She said, my name is Denise. And I said, okay, my name is Batman. She said, that's peculiar. I said, what's peculiar is you're laying on the beach with no arms and no legs. How did you get here? And she said, I just came out to visit. Batman, would you do me a favor? I've never been hugged before. Would you hug me? I thought that was kind of a strange request. But being the kind of person that I am, I said, sure. So I went over and I gave her a hug. She said, oh, that was so nice. I've never been kissed before. Would you kiss me? I said, okay, well, this is getting a little bit strange. But I obliged. I gave her a nice forehead kiss. She said, oh, that was so sweet. Batman, I've never been screwed before. Will you screw me? I said, sure. And I lifted her gently in my arms, carried her over to the water, and I threw her in. And I said, now swim, bitch, because you're screwed now.
I love that joke. That was requested by me, by the way. I told him, I said, if you come on the show, you're doing that joke. Now... tell us where exactly everybody can find you. Tell us everywhere where they can find you.
I have links you can catch me on YouTube at Michael Batman Rhodes. You can catch my fan page on Facebook, Michael Batman Rhodes, that's my fan page. Or you can send me a regular friend request. I need friends. I'm lonely at Michael Rhodes. You can catch me on Instagram at Just Me Batman, Twitter at Just Me Batman, and on Snapchat at Just Me Batman. JustMeBatman. Oh, and you can find me on Xbox and 360, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 4 at Just Me Batman also. Yes, I am a nerd and proud of
it. You know what? I got to give a shout out. That is the first person we've had come give their game handle. That's amazing. I actually sent Batman a friend request, and he has yet to accept it. He refuses.
That's not true. That is not true.
I know. I know it's not. He accepted it right away. He loves me.
I think you're hilarious. I think you are amazing.
Well, thank you. I mean, No Batman, but I try, you know. I'm like
stop it.
Like the Robin, I guess.
Anytime.
So
anytime.
So is there anything else you wanted to talk about or you wanted to mention?
No, I want to see Benny. I want to talk to Benny. I can't wait for him to get on there.
Yeah, he should be calling in any time, actually.
Awesome. So this is Las Vegas. So I'm so proud of you. I really am. I got to tell you that this is amazing. If you have a radio show, this that is so awesome.
Yeah, and actually,
and I think you're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, actually, starting next month, we will no longer be on here. We are moving to an actual studio in Las Vegas, KNUU, 970 AM, out of Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
We made it to the studio.
Oh, and, my goodness, we made it.
That's mostly because of me, not Richard or Brett, but, you know.
I would think that they would disagree with that statement.
Well, you know, I got to charm everybody with my good looks.
Oh, that will,
so,
of course, well, why argue with that?
Well, I mean, I have to live up to Batman because actually my girlfriend's here and she's seen your picture and she just started taking her clothes off, so.
Oh. Well, slow down.
Yeah.
Let me get there first. Slow down. We can start later.
Oh, well, okay. New romance just happened. No.
Please,
it's
just
obvious.
Hold off.
It's obvious I don't have a girlfriend. I'm a comedian. You know, it's actually funny.
Well, neither do
I. I hear a lot of people all the time. They go, oh, you're a comedian. You must have, like, chicks all over you and, like, groupies. And I'm like, you must never have been to a comedy show. Like,
I
go on stage and I can tell the worst things about myself.
I know, and I mean, it's crazy because I mean, we're comedians, we're struggling entertainers, which means we don't have a lot of money. So, I mean, that's one strike against us. And then we're telling jokes and the most intimate secrets about our upbringing and ourselves that, you know, some people may find weird. So yeah, we don't have a lot of girlfriends. I don't have a lot of girlfriends.
Well, you know, and this is like one of those like careers too. Like they don't tell you as a little kid that this is an option. Like if I was in high school and they were like, you know, you could just quit high school and just drink a lot and go on stage and make fun of yourself. I'd have dropped out the
head. Right. I really would have. I wish I would have known earlier on that this was what I was supposed to be doing or would have got into it.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, like how you mentioned you got into it by a dare. I mean, that pretty much happened kind of the same way with me. Like, me and a bunch of my buddies just went to a comedy club when we were, like, really drunk. And they thought it'd be funny to write my name down on the open mic and not tell me about it.
Wow.
And,
so when they called your name, it was like.
Which, by the way, they're all
awesome.
Still doing construction, and I sit at home in my underwear all day, so joke's on them.
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
It truly is. People, when they see me, they think I'm unemployed all the time. It's amazing. They are very curious on how I get paychecks.
That's me too. How did you afford that? How did you get that? Hey, I did a comedy show. Back off me.
Now,
that's
I am
awesome.
Actually going to go ahead. I'll let you two talk. I'm going to go ahead and get Benny on here. So
nope.
You two have fun. I will be back.
Okay. Don't hurry. We're going to enjoy ourselves.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rollin', 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 rollin'. Rollin', 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 though the streams are swollen, keep them doggies rollin' raw hard. Rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good bills, love, and kissing, you're waiting at the end of my ride.
We had some technical difficulties there. We're back, and I
Which,
was just saying
way,
that was
Batman,
a pretty that was a pretty
learn.
Bad visual of Chris in his underwear.
That was
jokes on you, Richard. I don't wear underwear. I do the radio show naked. I'm a fan of it.
Well, at least we're doing it from our own private studios here.
Oh, just wait till we're all together in the same studio.
I'm not going to be naked with you in the same studio. Now, if it was Bridget Daudet or Raquel Welch, you better believe I would be.
Well, I just bought special 911 comedy team Speedos for all of us to wear.
Wait a minute.
Oh, that'd be lovely. That'd be lovely.
Batman, Christopher, I just found out that I have a comedy thing going on over at the Sapphire Club. It's a strip club. I didn't know. I invited my mom.
Oh, wow.
It's
first of all,
Vegas,
I'm going to cut
but
in
now
real
my mom's
quick.
Not going to go.
I'm going to cut in real quick and say that I don't believe that Richard did not know it was a strip club.
I did not know, honestly. You know, I worked with them for
there.
Many years.
Yeah. Mr. Brothel didn't
yeah.
know it was a strip club.
The brothels I worked at. Yes, yes.
Mr. Brothel. Okay.
It's
psychic medium, spouse off, and comedian. I do readings for people on stage.
Okay.
I worked with Don Rickles, all kinds of people.
A master. I
yes.
love that guy.
Comedian.
Yes. Yes, a master comedian.
I mean,
I
was Batman, I was married once for 30 days, and it would have lasted longer if she would have remained in that state of coma. And the honeymoon was great. I mean, it just would have been better if she stayed awake for it. You get an idea. Anyways.
This man is going out giving his women chloroform and they're waking up later on. Saying,
oh, God, that's pretty sick. I don't think so, God. That's a good way to get a date, though, huh? No.
That's the only way I get him. Why am I tied up in the back of the car? Shut up. We'll get there in a little bit.
Oh, this is weird. This do you have any weird dating experiences to share?
I actually did an episode of this show. They were trying to bring back Blind Date. It was a pilot show. They were trying to bring it back, and they did a couple of episodes. And I went out with this girl, and her boyfriend kept following us everywhere we went. And she said she only did it for the credits.
Right.
And I went back to my car, and it was, I don't know what kind of humanly body waste it was, written on the side of my car with the word whore, but I'm assuming it was something communicable.
Oh, jeez.
And
that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. And I said, well, how does he know that I'm a whore? I told him.
We are getting a ring, and I have no idea. We'll find out here what's going on.
Sorry, I went and fetched our other guest.
We're fetching him on. Now, does he know we're calling?
Well, I'd hope so.
I don't know what Christopher is doing, Batman, but...
You know what? Nobody knows what Christopher's doing half the time, not even Christopher.
No, it really is true. I'm actually not allowed to touch the soundboard here at the studio because I hang up on everybody, so...
Too many pretty lights and buttons for you.
Well,
yeah,
guys, I'll be right back. Keep talking. I'll be right back.
All right.
Don't worry.
Oh, thank you again, though, Batman, seriously, for coming on. It's always fun to handle you, you know?
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. I'm having a good time, you know?
And,
again,
you're going to be...
Super proud.
Yeah, you're going to be in San Diego March 8th. Oh, no, April.
April, yeah.
April, oh, yeah. No, I just totally... Yeah, you're going to be in April, but my show that I'm hosting is the first
8th.
One is March 8th at 7:30. It's the Fall on Your Ass comedy show, and it's at the Comedy Palace, and it's obviously good because Batman agreed to be on it. So
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, anything.
Awesome.
Yeah, anything where you get a bunch of guys that can just laugh and joke about each other.
Right.
It's always down to have a good time. And actually, I just talked to Brett Miller. He's headlining in May.
Okay.
We're going to do a death roast for pretty much my birthday.
Really?
So, yeah, and they told me how harsh it's going to be. I'm excited.
So, yeah, getting roasted. Ooh, that's kind of fun. I'm excited for you. That's going to be dope.
I am too. You know what? This is the first time I've ever been roasted. You know, well, willingly, I guess.
Right, yeah, because I mean, if you were a nerd like me in high school, you got roasted on a daily basis. What are those? But
yeah, I got picked on quite a bit. But it looks like we have Benny on.
Benny!
Let's just throw them over, because I know I'm going to disturb something. Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm good.
Benny, are you there? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Benny!
We have Batman on the air.
Batman?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not bad. How about yourself, bro?
I'm hanging in there, man. You know, fighting crime. You know, as much crime as these police will let me do in my little beat-up Batmobile.
Wow, there you go, man. I feel you. I got a little buggy myself. So what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Benny, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are for the guests?
All right. Well, I'm an L.A. native. I've been doing comedy. April will be 17 years for me. And I run shows at the Long Beach Laugh Factory at the Ice House, and I do shows at different venues throughout the city, and, you know, I travel and stuff. And I always like to help out young comics with their careers, because when I started, I didn't get that much help, so I like to help out young comics.
Although he's never had me at the Laugh Factory yet.
Oh, not yet, but, you know, we're working on it.
When you look up Benny's name, he has done a lot of things.
Everywhere.
I mean,
and done everything.
Your Wikipedia page is rocking right now.
Yeah, man, it's been, you know, just having to get to the next level yet, you know, it's not that easy being Latino in the business, but trying to make it, man, trying to get it up there.
So now somebody like you, you've done it for a lot of years, you've extremely successful. I mean, do you basically set goals at this point, or do you just go with it now?
Yes. I think you always have to set goals, man. You know, that's what you always get to, because you're always going to want something more, you know. So, yeah, you always got to set goals what light a fire under my ass. I've always been known as a hustler, you know, in the business, always, you know, producing shows and always trying to get booked and everything. But since I have my son, my son's 19 months now, even made me hustle even more, try to make it to the next level,
Benny.
You know.
Benny.
Yes.
Doesn't it hurt when you light a fire under your ass and your balls?
Yeah, but I'm a freak like that, so.
Leave it to Richard to cut off the conversation for that now.
Right.
Yeah.
Get a serious question and inappropriate answer from Richard.
There you go. I come from a life of crime, so believe me. Stand-up comedy and working for the mob guys. I'm used to it.
Okay. There you go.
Benny,
yeah,
we're
no,
happy
always,
to
always
have you here, though, on the air today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we have Batman still here, right? Chris, introduce everybody. So.
Yes, Batman is here. Do you have any questions, Batman, for him?
No, I mean, I think about what he said about helping out the young comics, and it's true because, you know, for a lot of us, you know, coming up in this business, it's always a thing of, you know, I'm going to hold everything for myself because I don't want anybody else to get what I've got or to get where I am. And so you find yourself looking at these comics and asking them advice and then what you should do and what's the next step, especially if they're at a level higher than you and they don't want to share that information. So, I mean, I'm like Benny in that regard. I'll do what I can to make sure that, you know, the comics coming up after me know what steps not to take and know what or spinning your wheels and know what is necessary for you to do. I think that's great.
There you go.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Benny,
yep.
I'll ask you actually the same question I asked Batman because I like to ask this one. What is the importance to you on interacting with the audience?
It's when I host a show, because, you know, when I produce shows, I host a lot of my shows. it's important because you get them involved in the show. The audience, a lot of audience members, they like that feeling that, you know, they're part of the show. But when I'm on the road and I'm say I get hired just to headline or even feature, I like to do my set. You know, I try to stick to my material because, you know, when a showcase, they want to see material, not you working with the audience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Benny, how do you deal with your stress when you're stressed out before a show? What are some ways that you deal with your stress before going on?
Well, when I was a younger comic, I used to throw up. No kidding, guys. When I was up until about four, almost 5 years in, I used to literally throw up right before I hit the stage.
Oh,
I remember there's a funny comic named Jeff Garcia. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's all over. He's in voiceover movies and stuff like that, comics, Central specials. One time he introduced me to Laugh Factory, and the way he brought me up, he goes, "This next guy, you might have seen him in the Upchuck tour." You know, he caught me in the bathroom throwing up. That's from my set. You know, but now, I mean, I've been around so long where, it's funny. I get nervous before every single show to this day. But, you know, people can't tell, you know, I've been around so long, I can hide it well. And a lot of comics, they trip out. They're like, "Why are you nervous?" I'm like, you know, I'm nervous for every show because the few times I wasn't nervous, I didn't feel like I put that much effort into it, and I didn't have the best set. So the little nerves, you know, the butterflies are good because it makes me try harder.
So your energy works with the stress then. You build on it. That's great.
Yes.
So do you interact with the people as well, like Batman does when he's on stage, or where does your comedy derive from?
Most of my personal experiences in my life, but like I said, I've been producing shows and hosting shows forever where I welcome hecklers or people that want to just yell stuff out. I mean, I'm very good at handling audience members, so I like it. I don't shy away from it. I do a lot of rowdy crowds, you know, just from, you know, coming up. There wasn't many places to perform mainstream, so we did a lot of dive bars, and, you know, you get stronger working with rowdy audiences. So, but yeah,
sure do, right now I'm doing strip clubs, so it's not easy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At least you have a good view, though. At least you have a good view.
And thank God there are women and not
Richard.
Men like Chris dancing in their underwear.
Yeah.
Thank God for that. Oh,
hey, you know what?
Oh,
I'm going to the Ice House on Saturday. I'm showing up in my Speedo.
I dare you to.
That's not a pretty
you're
light
welcome,
there, Chris.
You're welcome.
Well, Benny, still put you on if
show.
You show up in your pink Speedo.
Oh, no,
hey,
no,
if he comes shows up in the pink Speedo, I'll put him on. I want to see if he does it.
This is going to get
don't
dark.
Don't say that now, because I'm going to do it.
Okay,
promises,
are we going to have
promises.
To videotape this and put it on Facebook then?
This got dark really quickly.
I mean, don't challenge me, because I am not scared.
Hey, you're the one that brought it up.
Right, exactly. You said it.
Nobody said, "Hey, Chris, you should come in." You said, "I'm going to come in my Speedo." So, hey, that was your decision.
Well,
that's on you, bro.
Hey, you know, this rock hard 300-pound body, it's got to be shown off.
Yeah, but it's going to cover up the Speedo.
Mm-hmm.
Are they even going to know there's a Speedo under there is the question.
Oh, see, here we go now. That's what you call jealous talk.
No, not jealous, man.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But one of the things you don't want to see.
Yeah. I did want to say real quick, Benny, thank you so much for, you know, coming on tonight. And
yes,
Batman,
Benny, thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Probably going to be one of our better shows because we got them on.
Hey, you know what? Anytime we get
a good show with Batman.
It's always good when we get comics that like to interreact and they talk about truth, because isn't that what is comedy? Comedy is about truth, right? About being ourselves, like Richard Pryor would say.
Right.
It's
about being authentic. And
yes.
The truth is funny.
Now, both. That's what the next question is for both of you guys. I don't know who. I'll start off with Benny, then Batman could answer. But how long did it take you to find yourself in comedy?
Benny,
you want to answer?
Yeah, probably. It probably took close to like 5 years.
Well,
when I started, There's a comic named Larry Omaha. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's an over 30-year vet. This guy is awesome. He gave me good advice. And he said it normally takes comics 5 to 8 years to find themselves. You know, which at first when I heard, you know, as a young comic, you're like, that's a long time. You know, by that time, you know, you should be seasoned and stuff. But no, it took me because I didn't know if I wanted to be, like, my joke's a storyline. I didn't know if I wanted to go storyline or try to do one-liners or deadpan or something like that, you know. And it took me a while to realize what I'm good at. And so about 5 years, I'd say about 5 years.
But you stuck with it all those years. How did you do that? Persistence or what?
Hard-headedness, I think. persistence. You know, I mean, I wind up doing comedy, and it took me about 2 years to realize that I'm in love with the art form, and I just want to keep on doing it. And then it took another 3 years to realize what style of comedy I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, so there's a little bit of persistence and a little bit of loving what you do, loving the art. You know, it's all about the art form.
It's and then finding the places to perform at, and then finding your comfort zone when you perform. It's a new thing.
definitely. It's been many a night when I came home thinking maybe it wasn't the right choice, but you know, I'm glad I stuck with it. But I think we have to go through that to make us stronger.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yep.
That's true.
Now I'm going to do this to you because I did it to Batman. Would you mind throwing out a couple jokes out there?
Like, no problem. I mean, it is not ready. Let me see. Can they be dirty or clean or what?
Clean, but you know, would not just do what you could do. Like you're performing, for your mom. In my case, it's dirty, but no, just be clean.
See, my jokes are long in the storyline. I'm trying to figure out some short ones, but here you go. Basically, I talk about, young guys. I warn young guys, you know, they have the beautiful girlfriends, you know, they're in love with them, and they're like, oh, someday I'm going to marry, and she's going to have my kids. Be careful, because once a woman gets pregnant, fellas, she'll change forever. They never be the same again. I've been with my girl for 10 years. It took her 2.5 years before she farted in front of me for the first time. And the first time she did it, I remember we're going to the movies. I'm driving, and I heard a little pop sound. And I'm all like, oh, what's that? And she was all embarrassed. Like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. You know, and I'm like, no, I'm glad you did, because I was starting to think you're weird. Because everybody's got to do it, right? In 2.5 years, I used to wonder, where does it go? Maybe that's why she has bad breath sometimes. You know, when she got pregnant, she didn't care. You know, we're watching TV. She's about 7 months pregnant. She's leaning on me, and she just rips one loud. Now, look, I'm like, what the hell? And I thought she was going to have the same reaction. I thought she was going to be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Hell no. She looked at me, and she goes, hey, that was a good one, huh? And I was like, it's never a good one when you do it. You should never say that. Pregnancy will change your woman forever. You know, and again, and then, you know, when a woman's pregnant, she gets those midnight cravings. And due to those midnight cravings, I gained 30 pounds. Because when she got a craving, let's be honest, I was forced to have a craving too. But after the pregnancy, she lost the weight. I kept it. I know I was looking like Chris for a while. you know, and I was trying to lose the weight. So I started doing this thing called Insanity. You know what it is? It's that, you know, video workout, calisthenics and stuff. So I got my nephews over one time. They're visiting. They're in the bedroom playing video games. I'm in the living room doing my Insanity. The big one comes out. He sees me doing Insanity. He thinks it's a game called Dance Dance Revolution. So he's all excited. He goes, oh, can I go next? Can I go next? I'm like, no, Papa. It's not a video game. I'm working out. I'm trying to lose weight. So now he's trying to motivate me, but he's talking trash at the same time. They're okay. We'll do it together. We're going to get rid of your stomach and your boobies. I'm like, what the hell? My stomach and my boobies. He's like, yeah, because mommy says you need a bra. I'm like, well, you know what? Forget you and your ugly mom, you know? So, you know, most of my act comes from family now or from my life, you know. About 90% is true stories about my life. You know?
So how long, I've learned it's easier to categorize things. It took me a long time to learn that. I used to memorize line for line. That just did not work. You find the same thing?
I memorize it. I do that way. I do memorize line for line. But what I do is, Okay, I used to literally sit down and just write out my jokes all
right.
the time. Now, you know, I've been doing it so long where they just happen, and since I'm always hosting a lot, I can work out jokes all the time. You know,
right.
We'll get one or two here. So I'll do them maybe about four or five times, and I'll record, and I tweak them, and then I start trimming the fat, you know, like whatever
mm-hmm.
is not needed. It's just, you know, extra verbiage. I just take it out, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
and
so you just
get
yourself to fit it.
Yeah, and then I'll come up with some jokes, and if they don't go with my act, I just store them till I come up with something that I can fit them into, you know?
It's kind of like putting on pantyhose, right?
Well, I haven't done that in a while, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, where's this guy coming from? I tell you, I had a father that was a hitman and a crossdresser. He was the only one that I knew that hid his pantyhose in a violin case. Come from a weird life, guys. What could I say? But no, you're trying to say you fit the. You just find the right fit. Bottom line.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
that,
you don't want to.
Go ahead, Biddy.
You don't want to have like a your set, and then you know you throw in a joke that has nothing to do with what you're talking about. You know.
Right.
And then she's just jumping around up and down. You know. So. If I think of a new joke that say it's about my son and it doesn't go with what I got, I just put it away until I can use it.
Robin Williams used to jump around a lot. I knew him, and he was one that could jump from one topic to another. It was funny. It kept your interest in there.
Right.
It was also his style. It was a style that he had. You know,
yeah.
You can't somebody like he. Compare him to somebody like a Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is really smooth with his
mm-hmm.
transitions and, you know, his stories. He can't just be in the middle of a story and just jump to something else, you know?
No. It just depends on the person's style.
Yeah, there you go. And in my style, that wouldn't be that good for my style.
No, I like your style. It's funny.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Both your styles, Batman and you, Benny. You can just tell that you guys... like the audience that you work with. You just love the energy that's around you, and that's great.
Well, I mean, I love making people laugh. I mean, I can be in the superstore. I can be in the supermarket or in the hospital. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm going to try to bring a smile to your face. And, I mean, like Benny said, his style is, you know, telling stories and stuff like that, and that's his truth. And I think that's when you find your voice is when you actually know what your truth is, whatever that truth may be. That you're willing to expose on stage is when you become, you find your voice is when you actually start speaking the truth that's actually the life that you're living.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're trying to convey
Absolutely.
To the audience. Because when you get up on stage and you try something else or you try to be somebody else, it doesn't come across authentic, and you're always going to find yourself struggling like that. Always going to find yourself trying to figure out your identity if you're not being authentic to who you are. Then you'll never have a voice. You'll always be this kind of person or this kind of person, and your career will always go up and down. And so will the energy in the room. But if, once you find your truth, that's it. I'm a skinny black man who loves Batman. I'm a nerd. I read comic books and cereal on Saturday morning in Underwood comic book underwear. I wear a cape.
And with me, I worked for the mob before, and I use that for my comedy with the stories, and I do my readings within it and add comedy. So it's a weird life that I had, so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well,
Richard,
and he brings like all the dudes that like blow people up on the show. That's why I bring actual comedians onto the show. Richard brings scary people on. He does all that.
I bring CIA
stuff.
Guys. I bring all kinds of guys on the show.
Yeah, he brings people on. I'm like, you know, I hope they don't run my background because we're gonna lose a host. Now we
awesome.
Actually. Are missing a host tonight, Brett Burnthorne. Richard, where's Brett at? He's actually doing a show tonight.
I think he is, yes. Didn't he have an audition to do, too, or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Brett, yeah. He's in a commercial now or trying out for a commercial. This guy thinks he can act.
La-di-da.
La-di-da is right. Yeah.
AT&T commercial. And, yeah, he's actually doing stand-up right now, so I'm sure that crowd left. But, I do.
Now we
prefer,
should get. We should have Benny and Batman give us their websites and all that kind of stuff, what's going on, because we're running,
exactly,
we're not running exactly out
that.
Of time, but we should give them plugs right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Batman. You were here first. Go for it.
Okay. You can catch me again on my fan page, Michael Batman Rhodes. You can see my YouTube under Michael Batman Rhodes. Check my Instagram and my Twitter at JustMeBatman, JustMeBatman. My PlayStation handle and my Xbox handle are both JustMeBatman, so you can catch me out there as well. Or add me as a friend on Facebook. I need friends. I'm lonely. And Michael Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S.
All right, how about you, all right. Benny?
All right, for me, you can add me on social media, Benny Mena, that's Benny with one N, B-E-N-Y-M-E-N-A, on Facebook, or Benny Mena Comedian. My fan page, add me on Twitter, Instagram, same thing. The website's being worked on right now, so right now, social media. I got a show this Saturday, which, Chris, you're on, at 9:30 at the Ice House, Pasadena, in the Stage 2 room. It's going to be a great show. All right, and then I run the Laugh Factory in Long Beach every first and third Sunday of the month. So if you add me on Facebook or any of the social media, I'm always promoting the shows, putting up flyers, and you can find out, you know, you want to see the comics are going to be on the show, you want to go come support live comedy. It'd be an awesome thing to do.
Oh, yes. And let me just say this real quick. I do a show called the Bat Cave at the Lemon Twist Lounge every Thursday. And every Sunday I'm at my Gotham City at the OC Steelhouse Monster Comedy Show. Like Benny said, come out and support live comedy. If you're ever in the area, come catch a little bit of that Batman fever and see what we're going through.
Yeah, it's funny. Because we're going to Vegas next month. I was talking to this lady on the phone, and I guess they have, like, these people that all they do, they get paid to drive to Vegas and, like, eat food and sleep in the hotels. And,
wow. Like sugar shoppers.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. So I told her, she was like, oh, you know, if you guys have a fundraiser where you want to bring people out for free, then you should bring them to us. And I was like, yes, I want to go out for free. But that's not what she meant by that. So.
Wow. Wow. So you're getting free. You're getting a free buffet. Does free sex come with that as well?
I mean, the buffet will tear up. I hope it's free because they kick me out every time.
You notice you said the buffet and not the sex. Did anybody else catch that, or was that just me?
Hey, you know what? When it comes to food and sex, sex is activity. I sweat a lot. I'm going to stick to the food for a minute.
Food is the activity. You sweat a lot. Okay, I got it.
I mean, I try to do as least things as possible.
Yeah, I'd rather eat the food in Vegas than just dream about sex. The food in Vegas is good.
Well, I'm super excited to go to Vegas with Richard because he's the brothel guy.
And not only that, we're going to introduce you to a lot of TV stars we know.
Oh, yeah,
nice,
that too.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
so
we
have a lot of
Richard.
Connections over there.
Yeah, you got a lot of mob connections out there.
I mean, I've worked on my website. I have interviews with Johnny Carson. I have interviews with Phyllis Diller, with Don Rickles, with Tim Conway, and on and on.
Don Rickles, that's one guy I would love to meet.
He's cool. He's cool to work with. I did a skit with him and one with the Smothers Brothers as well. They were fun.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
In fact, the Smothers Brothers, the first time I met him, I shouldn't say it on the air, but you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Tommy
sure.
was a little bit under the weather. He had a divorce going on with his wife, maybe drinking a little bit too much. I was interviewing him behind stage at the Debbie Reynolds Hotel. And when I started to do my interview, it was like an abstract interview. So he was going, what the blank is going on here, Spaz? What are you trying to do to me? He got real mad. He finished up with the interview. Then about two nights, I got invited to go to another party that Robert De Niro was at. And this was like a star party where everybody performed. I was there in the audience, and I had a little bit of a stand-up thing to do, but I was sitting right next to Tommy. Again, he started yelling at me and saying, what was I doing with the interview with him? He was real mad about what type of interview I did. So 10 years pass, and I saw him at Hera's Hotel here in Valley Center. Finally, I got backstage. I snuck backstage. I saw them in their underwear. Tommy came running out and said, "Hey, it's a Spaz. I'm so happy to meet you after all these years." He goes, "I'm sorry for what happened during that time. It was just bad for me." So it's interesting how people could carry a grudge and let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, some people are funny that way.
Yeah, weird, weird.
Or maybe he just... The fact that he was in his underwear, he felt free to let it go.
Like Chris, right? I don't know.
Hey, you know what? I look good in my underwear. I love it.
There you
like,
go.
Like, I am surprised. I have not been asked to be a model yet.
Just you should be.
Yeah, that's weird, man, because, you know, even Sports Illustrated got plus-size models now.
See,
well,
there we
I
go.
Know they have plus,
you know what?
I know
I'm going to take
that. I didn't know they had plus models.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm actually the lead role of Magic Mike XXXL. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Coming out in 2020.
Is that mm-hmm. right? I gotta see that.
That's the only size screen that I actually hold his entire body. 20 by 20.
I like. We have two minutes left, you guys, so whatever we're doing,
I do want to thank Benny Mena again and Batman for being on our show. Next month we will be in Vegas, so watch out for
that.
And
you got the live comedy show. You want to announce that?
Oh, yes. March 8th in San Diego at the Comedy Palace. I am doing
awesome.
Comedy show, and Richard Spazoff is actually featuring. Brett Burnthorne is headlining that one,
and then
the second show we'll have Batman on there.
Yay.
So it's gonna be fun.
I just want to say one more time, thanks for having me on, fellas. I'll see you, Chris, on Saturday, and best of luck in Vegas, Richard. Awesome meeting you over the phone.
Thank you,
and,
Benny. Same here. Thank you.
And, cool, and Batman, holler at me, man. We'll get together. All right?
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely.
You guys have yourselves a great night.
Have a good night, Benny.
You guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys, and God bless everybody out there. We appreciate the time that you spent with us. It was a wonderful evening, Chris.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Benny. Thank you, Batman.
Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it. Take it easy.
We are planning to. Now, should we end, Chris, with the song?
Yeah, let's go ahead and, hey, Dead Puppies.
I don't even have to ask, I know.
Dead puppies. Dead puppies. Dead puppies aren't much fun. They don't come when you call. They don't chase squirrels at all. Dead puppies aren't much fun. My puppy died late last fall. He's still rotting in the hall. Dead puppies aren't much fun. No. Mom says puppy's days are through. She's going to throw him in the stew. Dead puppies aren't much fun.